The G20 is upon us and the international focus shifts for a while to Africa, and we can be sure that deals will be discussed and trade opportunities explored. The G20 countries represent 85% of the global economy, 75% of global trade, and 2/3 of the world's population. The B20 is the official business voice to the G20. The G20 presidency gives South Africa an opportunity to attract foreign direct investment, not only in South Africa, but the continent as a whole. RMB is a platinum sponsor of the B20, and one of its core themes is around trade and investment. This is a timely opportunity to showcase the best of South Africa, particularly at a time when geopolitical fault lines are being redefined, especially when it comes to trade. We're joined now by Isa Mashlanga, Chief Economist at RMB, to examine what the G20 means for South Africa and how we can best exploit this opportunity. Hi, Isa. Thanks very much for joining us. It's been quite a year for international trade since Donald Trump took over at the White House and his very aggressive renegotiation of tariffs with US's trading partners. How do we restore confidence in multilateral trade, and is it important that we do this?
Thanks for having me. It is indeed a year that has been marked with a lot of turbulence. From a trade perspective, we have seen the highest levels of uncertainty from the tariffs out of the US President Donald Trump's trade policy. And your question on how do we restore confidence in this fractured world where our trade patterns are now being reorganized in a new way is quite important. First, trade is key for economies to grow. There is almost virtually no country that grows and reduces unemployment and improves its prosperity without trading with other nations. It is the one aspect that we need to do and do very well. Secondly, how do we restore confidence? Platforms like the G20 becomes quite important. That is where we have all the countries that still believe in globalization, that still believe we can do a lot more as a global community, can craft ways to restore this confidence. Unfortunately, the US this year seems to be quite distant and perhaps not even sending representatives in some of the core meetings in South Africa. That is quite unfortunate. But the rest of the world seems to think and believe trade is important, well represented. We have, you know, continents such as Europe, we have Asia that are all going to be represented and continue to deepen international trade. So it is really about engaging with global partners, but also multilateral institutions, rebuilding them to make sure that there are common rules of engagement, but also we have a common approach to trade that is fairer, that can, you know, make sure that all countries engage on the basis of similar rules. In that way, we should be able to level the playing field. But trade itself, quite important, and we see signs that there is still belief for multilateral institutions that the US seems to be moving away from.
Africa is something of an anomaly in that just 16% of its trade is with other African countries, unlike Europe and North America and Asia, where there's a lot of intercontinental trade. Now, the African Continental Free Trade Agreement is intended to change that, but that's going to need capital. It's going to need infrastructure such as rail and road, and it's going to need more efficient borders. How do we mobilize capital to breathe life into this African Continental Free Trade Agreement?
Indeed, Africa's trade with itself remains the lowest among all the other continents, and this is a growth opportunity that lies within the continent. If you look at just the amount of imports that the African continent have from outside of the continent of products and services which could be serviced from within, it's quite significant, which then says the Africa Free Continental Trade Agreement is a key important policy tool, but it needs to be followed through by the right infrastructure, to your point, railroads. We need also airports that should be, that should enable trade to take place in a much more efficient way. The mobilization of capital requires first our own internal economic reforms to enable the domestic investors to invest in the domestic economies in a much more simpler and easier way. Secondly, They can also help to reduce the cost of capital, which is one of the binding constraints for much of Africa. The cost of capital still remains significantly higher relative to other regions, and that makes it difficult for most countries to raise the funding they need. One would also say some of the funding needs to be funded from budgets. Essentially, governments need to commit certain proportions of capital that can de-risk a lot of the projects, on top of which the private sector can participate. So that private sector, public sector coordination or partnership is very important to make sure that this Africa Free Continental Trade Agreement actually succeeds. Government cannot do it alone. The private sector cannot do it alone. We need both government and the private sector and civil society to make sure that there is a common understanding of what it's supposed to achieve and how to actually do it.
All right, so we're going to be talking a lot about trade over the next few weeks with the G20 and the B20 here in Johannesburg. Talk about RMB's role in trade. How are you assisting your clients getting out into the international market?
Look, we have various ways that RMB and the First Run Group in general, through all the banks across the continent, that we assist clients to make sure that we facilitate trade cross-border within the continent, but also, you know, with outside of the continent. The one way that I can demonstrate from a, you know, research perspective, which is an area that I overlook within RMB, we make sure that we bring a better understanding of the dynamics in all the countries that we have a presence in, or in, even going beyond in terms of the economic developments, how is the state of growth, the structure of the economies, the risks from a currency perspective, from an interest rate perspective, from a policy dynamics perspective, so that when international investors are looking to invest in the continent, they are well informed. So we bridge that information gap that exists. And we do this through various publications that we do. But we have very specific one that is called The Where to Invest in Africa. Essentially looks at 31 countries that constitute 90% of Africa's GDP and give you a good understanding of what really drives long-term investment in these countries, which should help to inform different role players on the dynamics, the risks, and the opportunities. But there are other ways. We are a bank, which means we channel savings from those that have access to those that are needing capital. That's one of the functions, a typical functions of bank, which we do. You know, in part, we also fund some of the projects that are involved across different types of infrastructure, but also we provide trade finance for companies that are looking, you know, that are trading across the continent. So the approach is really is multifaceted. They touch areas a lot, but ultimately we're playing a key role in facilitating trade and development in the continent.
Now, there's a lot of talk about public-private partnerships. This, of course, is a key priority in delivering on the B20 trade and investment goals. There's some resistance to this from the labor unions, but the South African government appears to be fully committed to these partnerships as a way to bring our infrastructure up to scratch. How do you see this playing out in the future?
It's likely to be the more important agreements, or at least collaboration between the private sector and business, but also we need labor to be on board because it's a key component. Yes, we have seen successes in the South African context, particularly if you take, energy security with the public-private partnership in renewable energy. Those have been successful because there was better collaboration between business and labor, but also with government. So this is likely to be more important going forward rather than being less. I think labor eventually will come around. That's what we believe, because we need labor that is also a stakeholder, given how critical it is in these public-private partnerships.
Finally, Isa, give us a few examples of how RMB is involved in assisting clients in terms of trade finance, infrastructure, and industrialization projects across Africa. How big is your Africa book?
Look, I'm not going to be able to talk on the size of the book itself, but we do finance infrastructure, whether in South Africa, whether in other, broader Africa countries where we have a presence. We do help in terms of risk management across the continent for companies that are looking to deploy capital in different countries, whether be it, hedging interest rate risk or hedging currency risk, because those are things that normally increase the cost of projects beyond the actual cost of the bricks and mortar, And we do bridge the information gap by providing the research to make sure that when investors look for infrastructure investments, they are well informed of the risks and opportunities. So we are actually much more engaged across different areas to enable clients or to enable, different stakeholders, might be policymakers, to make sure that they are well informed of, the risks and potential opportunities across the continent.
We're going to leave it there. Thank you very much for joining us. Izamo Shlanga, Chief Economist at RMB.